back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. Joining us now on the program, very pleased to bring on my next guest, Heritage Foundation does a lot of great work just down the street from where I'm sitting right now. I've been there many, many times over the years. Laura Reese, she is the director for Border Security and Immigration Center there at Heritage. Laura, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. This is a lot of your work here. I'm kind of going through it, but I guess, you know, we talk about immigration. We talk about the policy. We talk about the impact, and we have all these sort of the discussions, but the legal basis for the Biden administration's immigration policy right now does not seem to exist. This is where you guys look to be really strong, that this there's a lot of a lot of law breaking going on by the Biden administration as it pertains to immigration policy.
Yes, they are ignoring parts of the law, whether it's mandatory detention or breaking the law in other cases where it is dealing with parole. For example, parole is in the statute. It's for humanitarian purposes. It is on a case-by-case basis, temporary. And yet this administration is mass paroling just about everyone they're bringing into the country. So they definitely need to be held accountable. I believe Secretary Mayorkas, if he doesn't resign before January, he will be facing impeachment for breaking the law.
But that's the case. If Republicans get control of Congress, they got to make. And there's benefits to doing this, going through the investigative process, getting these guys on the record, and maybe showcasing it for the American public what exactly the Biden administration is doing when it comes to the border. But I guess you still got to make that legal case if you're going to do this, right? You still, because it's not just a, I mean, in some ways it's just a show trial, don't get me wrong, but it can't be just silliness. Members of Congress got to say, this is where they're breaking the law.
Yeah, this is quite serious. There is plenty of precedent in history and in the Constitution for impeaching public officials. It's not just the president or the vice president, for dereliction of duty, for losing the public trust, for violating the law. And Secretary Mayorkas has done all that. He's lied to Congress. He continues to claim that this border is secure. And he's knowingly let in, just for an example, you know, dozens and dozens of known and suspected terrorists. That doesn't even include among the 900,000 plus gotaways. Those are the bad guys coming in. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to turn themselves in to Border Patrol. So we have to assume there's more terrorists among that population.
Well, the thing, this administration and the Obama administration did as well, they're abusing the asylum rule, if you will, that the way they're using it to kind of green light a lot of the illegal immigration that's going on. And then when Republicans push back, well, we got this the way we handle these refugees. This is the way we've always done it. Look at how we handled, you know, the refugees coming here from Cuba or whatever. But that is the way they're trying to justify this.
Yeah, they are, you know, at the beginning of the administration, they prohibited the term illegal immigration, and they instead replaced it with non-citizen. They've since dumped that term as well, and now they just call everyone asylum seekers. We know that most of them are not eligible, according to the law, for asylum. They're coming here for economic reasons. They will admit as much to agents, to journalists, and yet this administration wants to paint them as vulnerable populations, and so that's why they use this term. But in fact, this administration is encouraging asylum fraud. No one should be for that, and it just increases the backlog for these cases, and it hurts not only those who have actually been persecuted, but other lawful immigrant applicants as well.
I mean, what's the point of even doing it the lawful, legal way now? If you have all of these avenues, you're going to choose the path of least resistance. And so it just kind of makes whatever the law is just a, you know, it's just there. It just exists. What's the point of it?
Exactly. And that's why we're seeing so much illegal immigration. When it's easier and faster to do it illegally and the likelihood of you being caught or punished for it is very low, that's the perfect formula for illegal immigration and for fraud, for benefit fraud as well. And so that's why, you know, the scale has really tilted towards that choice, unfortunately. And we need to get it back to lawful and an orderly and a manageable system.
Now, when we get back to that system and talking about that, I mean, all of these rules got to be nibbled at, or they got to be eliminated, or the way they are enforced or interpreted, that's the tricky part of this. And there's 100 million ideas out there. Right now, the idea, well, what we have now is not good. We just need something different. But you're going to have to reform. There needs to be some kind of reform done. And there doesn't really seem to be, to me, a really clear image of what that ought to be, at least not yet. Maybe it's early to talk about that, but there's no time like the present.
Are you talking about the lawful side of the equation?
Yeah, if we're going to have a law, we're going to have a legal... If we're going to do quote-unquote immigration reform, mm-hmm. what does that look like? What ideally would that be?
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of legal programs already on the books. There's literally an alphabet's worth of ways to come here temporarily. If you want to come permanent, you can come as, you know, based on your family membership or employment-based. Now, I do believe that ratio of family-based and employment-based needs to flip. Right now, it's about two-thirds family-based and one-third employment. And employers have said loud and clear that they need more immigrant employers. So we should do merit-based and offer more green cards based on employment versus family. Get the family base down to the nuclear family and chain migration. Get rid of the diversity visa, which is literally a lottery. And then we can argue about, well, how many nurses do we need? How many high-tech workers do we need? How many ag workers do we need? But at least the overall pie for employment green cards would be larger than the current ratio.
See, it's not necessarily just, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about illegal immigration, but on the legal side of it, you think that there needs to be adjustments made there, that there are deficiencies. I guess it's like you got to have immigration. Let's pick and choose who comes here kind of approach.
Right. It should be in the interest of the U.S. as a sovereign nation. We should have, you know, determine who's coming and for what purpose, for how long, and when they leave. And based on U.S. needs, then determine how many in those categories that I talked about, the different types of employment.
But you want it to be more high-skill, not just low-skill jobs, right? Because those are the jobs. Those are the ones that impact wages at the blue collar sort of occupations, where it seems to me that the need, if there is a need, it's the high skilled, high tech things like that that really, where you really move the needle, that really will make a difference in this country.
Well, I'm sure you have high tech employers saying we need more visas. You also have, you know, landscapers saying they need more visas. You have all sorts of types of labor where the employment or the industry is saying they need more. And
well,
it can't
go ahead. But I guess this, I know we have low unemployment in a lot of places in this country, but just labor participation seems to be low. Does introducing more of that landscapers, for example, is that something that we really, I mean, is that the right place to put the focus, I guess, is the question.
Well, that is a valid question. And again, it's what does this country need? The lobbying efforts are strong, though. And also getting rid of the fraud and making sure those employers are obeying the process. A lot of them have just gotten used to hiring immigrant labor. And not really pursuing American workers. I mean, our economy right now, our labor market, is still not back to what it should be just from COVID and paying people not to work. And so you still see, you know, help needed, help wanted in
right.
So many windows. And, you know, the left will take advantage of that and say, see, we need more immigrant work. Well, I would argue there's still plenty of American workers who have not returned to the workforce since COVID.
I mean, it's almost like a backdoor way to raise a minimum wage in some ways. The job that was paying minimum wage is going to have to up that some to get workers to come. But the immigration angle to that, I guess, would be, I don't know. I mean, is it sound immigration policy to offer visas or bring in more workers to fill some of these lower skilled jobs is the question.
There is a need. The question is, how do we get a good sense of an accurate need? If you've got employers who would just rather kind of take the easy, faster route and just hire local immigrants, or go through the effort of truly looking for American workers to do those jobs.
Something you see these guys do a lot of times. So we had a instance at a Hyundai plant in Alabama, a child labor, but they go through these intermediaries. These big companies will use these, I guess, tip agencies or whatever, to, that's how they get around the law. Is that something that, I don't know if you could do it at the federal level or not, but is that something, when we talk about immigration policy, that we need to take into consideration?
Yes. There's different ways to defraud the system. You see the same thing in the high-tech end of the spectrum, too, where you'll get so-called body shops. And so they say, well, you know, the actual employer is saying, well, I'm not hiring the illegal alien. I'm filing the law. But that's because there's this intermediary, as you say, and that is a way around the law. So if we know employers are trying to play loose and fast, then those are the things that Congress needs to adjust to make sure employers are following the intent of Congress and getting rid of fraud.
Joined by Laura Reese here on the program from the Heritage Foundation. Let's talk about the security side of it. I mean, since immigration's under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security, are there other mechanisms that can be deterrents, I suppose? I mean, right now, a lot of the immigration coming to this country seems to be economic. But could you add should you steepen the criminal penalties for it? Or should you look at employers that are going around the system, as we just talked about, and using the criminal code in a way to deter this from happening? I mean, is that one option that you would consider?
I think there are plenty of laws on the books. They just need to be enforced, whether that is enforcing immigration consequences such as detention and deportation, denying work authorization for people who aren't authorized to work, auditing employers who are disobeying the law, and doing worksite enforcement. So I think the laws are there. And then where crimes are involved, we've got criminal laws on the books, whether it's, you know, someone who was previously ordered deported and returning to the U.S., treat that as a felony, you can prosecute it. You know, as we know, we've got prosecutors around the country who aren't so interested in doing their jobs, or are you know, good but simply overwhelmed, and they're not going to take these, you know, one-off cases. So, but we need enforcement. We need consequences, because consequences work.
I mean, going back to Simpson, Missouri, 1986, I mean, have we ever really been in a place in this country that the laws on the books were enforced in a satisfactory way, do you think? Or, I mean, is this an ambition that could never be obtained because we just haven't seen, at least in my lifetime?
Well, so Simpson, Missouri was, you know, a big part of that was making it illegal to hire someone that's not authorized to work. And no, that has not fully been implemented or enforced ever since 1986. There are easy ways to buy social security numbers, bogus documents to get around the biographics that are checked. It's not a biometric system. You know, E-Verify is a good program, but it is based on, you know, what do state DMVs have in their records, or what other documents can we check to see is this the same person according to the document, but it's still biographically based.
Right.
So there are ways around it. And you've got, you know, many employers will lobby against making E-Verify mandatory, certainly against making it retroactive. Some will say, okay, you know, for future new hires, mandatory E-Verify is okay, but don't you dare check my current employees. A lot more needs to be done on that front to make the intent that Congress had in 1986 actually implemented.
It just seems, because you do mention the laws of the books, and they're there, and they're not being enforced. Even during the Trump administration, they weren't necessarily being enforced to the full extent of the law. Is it kind of pie in the sky to think that the federal government will ever do what Congress had mandated back then? Because it just never seems to quite get there.
if they won't do it after the situation we're in right now, then they're never going to do it. And it's the same with members of Congress, either in office now or in the next Congress. If they're not going to close these loopholes that this administration is exploiting, they're never going to do it, because we've never been in this bad of a situation. We have never seen these numbers cross the border.
They just seem like oblivious to it. And I mean, if you're an American and you're watching this go down and you see the blind eye being turned, that, you know, maybe it gets better under Republicans, but it doesn't seem like they're not even going to acknowledge the problem. Once we're going to have this discussion, we're never going to agree on it. And it's just going to be deadlocked forever. I guess that's sort of my quick take on it. But that's where the hopelessness comes. So, you know, for my listeners or whatever, that we are maybe hoping for something that may not be obtainable.
Right. I fear the trajectory we're on. I mean, with the drugs that are coming in, the criminals that are coming in, the known and suspected terrorists, we are back to a pre-9/11 posture. I do believe there will be a terrorist attack. That will wake some people up and change course. But for how long? And, you know, that still doesn't quite get to the employment question that you're asking.
Well, that will have to be saved for another day. Laura, folks want to find out more about the good work done at Heritage or any of the things you're working on. I tell them how to do so, how to find out more.
They can look up heritage.org or follow me on Twitter at Laura_Reese.
Y'all check that out. Laura, we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, we got to get one more break in here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. The path to heaven is full of